What is the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of Christ? How do you enter it? That's what I'd like to bring before you this evening. The verse I'm referring to is verse 17. Well, if it's all pie in the sky when you die, then according to many people, it won't be pork, that's for sure. Now the apostle speaks it here. That's not flippant. That's what he means. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Of course, it included much more than just pork, as being classified unclean, and therefore people teaching, such as the Pharisees, the religious teachers of the day, that you got to heaven by obedience to the law. That you could get there through your diet as an essential part of obedience to the law. So Paul simply says in this part of his epistle or letter to the Romans, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not about keeping the laws of God, the ceremonial laws, the rituals, the rites. No, over and over again, he would preach that salvation and righteousness is acquired through faith in Jesus Christ. Man needs righteousness. How do we receive it? How do we acquire it? Well, it's by faith. It's not by what we do. A knife and fork won't get you to heaven. Now that sounds flippant, and that sounds irrelevant to us in our day. But of course there are people who advocate as part of their religion, and their desire to be righteous, and declared righteous before God, that they have certain dietary laws, even to the present time. Again, a knife and fork won't get you to heaven. Avoidance of certain foods won't get you to heaven. This is what the apostle is saying. You cannot earn acceptance before God. It's not about the right diet. You can't eat, drink your way to heaven. You cannot, by avoiding certain things, make yourself righteous before God. Indeed, let me just extend this now from food, which is what's mentioned in the text. You can't starve yourself, get thin enough, as it were, to slip into heaven. No, the ascetic lifestyle, denying yourself things, legitimate pleasures, legitimate things, that multitudes deny themselves. And it's all about attainment of a righteousness. It's about an attainment and acquiring a holiness of life. And so they deny the body. They have this inherent belief that the body itself is evil. The material part is evil. And if we abuse it enough, if we beat it enough, if we deny it certain things, pleasurable things, then we will have or acquire a righteousness, an acceptance with our God. He will see we are not giving ourselves to these things. We are not worshipping them. Our God is not our belly. That's what this is an attempt to do. Others, of course, it's not just or not so much diet with them, but you can't dip or wash your way to heaven. For that's what some hope has happened to them. They've been baptized as infants or indeed as adults. And they hope that they've been washed and they'll wash themselves to heaven. Somehow, by some act of God, through the hands of the vicar, the minister, the priest, whoever performed the baptism as a priest or as a child or as an adult, well, their sins went, as it were, into the water. They've been washed, they've been cleansed. That can't get you to heaven. That won't acquire the righteousness that you require to stand before Almighty and Holy God. Of course it can't. And you're familiar with these things. You don't meditate or think your way to enlightenment and to righteousness. For too many, that's another form. That's another way to heaven. Heaven is about knowledge. Heaven is about the enlightenment of the mind and the soul. And you can meditate, and you can think, and you reflect, and you give yourself to the meditative life, and somehow you're acquiring a righteousness, and that is acceptable to God. And then they've given themselves up to such a life. No, it's not. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not washing. It's not meditating and thinking. Furthermore, you can't buy off judgment by the currency of good deeds. That's what multitudes want. Oh, they're not considering righteousness per se, but they are thinking of escaping wrath to come and the judgment of God. What do they use? What do they employ? Well, they believe that they can buy off judgment by the currency of good deeds and good works. That's their hope. You can't buy off judgment by goodness, good deeds, good efforts. Of course you can't. No one of these things will acquire the righteousness we need. Not any permutation of them, indeed, not all of them combined, would provide the righteousness we require, God requires of us, that he can receive us into his presence. He must banish us, he must judge us, he must condemn us, for he's infinitely pure and righteous. So the apostle begins this verse, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not by any aspect or all of the law together. An adherence to the law. You cannot get to heaven. You cannot acquire the righteousness God requires of you and me by anything other than faith in Christ. But then he doesn't say it in those words. Notice what follows, and I want to just look at the kingdom of God, acquiring righteousness. Paul says it's not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. How do I become a true member of the kingdom, a subject of the king? How will I be admitted into the kingdom? How can I attain to this kingdom of Christ, the eternal, blessed and blissful kingdom? Well, the apostle says, it's righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. And I just want to go through those things with you. First of all, it is righteousness. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness. Well, what does the apostle mean when he speaks of righteousness? Well, he means the moral condition. Yours, my moral condition before God. My character. What I am, and then what I do or have done. Righteousness. Uprightness. See, God doesn't do pretense. God doesn't do virtual righteousness. We need a real righteousness. And it only comes from one source. We need righteousness that's perfect. We need a righteousness then that is imputed to us, for we can't produce it ourselves. It's the only way. You produce your own, or someone else produces it on your behalf and for you. And of course the gospel, and the very essence of the gospel, is that the righteousness a guilty sinner requires is provided by Jesus Christ. We acquire it, we obtain it, by trust and faith in Him. Faith doesn't save us in itself. Faith is what lays hold upon Christ Himself, and it's Christ that saves us. It is His righteousness that is imputed to the believing sinner, but He's also procured for us righteousness that is then imparted to us. Righteousness imputed, perfect, that's complete, that is without spot, without a stain, without a blemish. It's the pure righteousness, the perfect righteousness of Christ. That's what fits a guilty sinner for heaven. That's what admits a guilty sinner into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ. That's a beautiful thought. Jesus Christ does it all, and He imputes a righteousness I need, you need, when we come as guilty and put our faith and trust in Him. He then imparts righteousness. We begin to be changed. We begin to be made right. We appreciate the things that are wholesome and pure and pleasing to God. That corrupted nature with its bias towards the sinful, the perverse, the dark, the unlawful that breaks the laws of God continually and constantly. Well, we are given a new nature that fights that, that begins to desire and cries out for our righteousness imparted to be made anew. The kingdom of God isn't acquired through our own efforts. It comes from Christ. All of Him. It is righteousness. The righteousness we need. It's there. Oh, we can look to the Lord. You see, as guilty sinners, we are unrighteous. God sees our corruption. He sees our unrighteousness. He hears it. You know it leaks out, doesn't it? I don't suppose for a moment in our small gathering, and I would hope even when there are a few more here, that any one of them that comes believes themselves to be righteous. I could be wrong. But they don't have to look too hard to see unrighteousness leak out of us, as it were. It leaks out through the mouth, doesn't it? Comes out as lies, swearing, boasting, cursing, threatening, insult, bitter words, invective, broken promises and vows, not just the mouth, we misuse ears and eyes. We hear and see profanity. Indeed, the heart devoid of the love and affection for God. The kingdom of God is righteousness. Ah, but the believing sinner, the believing in Christ, obtains the righteousness, has become a subject of the King. And the kingdom of God, not meat and drink, but righteousness. I'm sure you're aware of the need for righteousness. Do you desire it? Have you asked the Lord to save you? To make you righteous in the sight of God and indeed in His own sight by clothing you in His righteousness? That's the gospel. Come as guilty and lost as you are. Come as defiled and unrighteous as you are, and you know you're unrighteous yourself. Look to Christ and ask Him all to pardon, to forgive, to impute His righteousness, to wash you clean, to abhor your sins, the punishment they deserve in His body. That He would have taken that judgment and punishment for you. Well, it is righteousness, secondly, it is peace. The kingdom of God is peace. Which must, of course, mean, as unreconciled to God, as unsaved, we have no peace. We do not have peace with God. We are enemies of God. You know, every sin you commit as an unpardoned, unforgiven, unbelieving, someone not trusting in Christ, every sin you commit is a missile launched at heaven. You'll be aware, I'm sure, even if you're not particularly interested in current affairs, of what this man, this leader in North Korea, sorry you'll be getting bored of him, but he just represents so many things. But you know what he's been doing for some time, don't you? He's been poking international opinion in the eye. And as surely as he knows he'll be condemned for launching missiles, he's preparing the next one. He's goading them, particularly, I would suspect, and I don't think you need to be a genius to work this one out, America. So he's been firing these missiles. He's been testing them. Launching. They're a pariah state, as you know, to all but a few other nations. They're wholly indifferent to persuasion, at least up to now. He's making nice noises at the moment again. He in effect says, we don't fear anybody. We don't care about the world's opinion. We don't care what anybody else thinks. We're going to do what we want to do. We live by our own rules, not anybody else's. And people see how unreasonable that is, how irrational it is. They see how dangerous it is. This rhetoric becomes an action, and an action leads to retaliation, retaliation to more retaliation. Before you know, a war. Whether it does or doesn't, I've no idea. But look, every sin you commit and continue to commit without a savior, apart from trusting in Christ, who cleanses from all sin. Every sin is like a missile launched at heaven. It's like an attack on heaven. It's like saying, I don't care, we won't live by your rules. We don't care about heaven's opinion and heaven's view. We'll live according to our own ways, our own laws. And we will continue to live without submitting to Christ, without submitting to God, our Maker, our gracious and good and long-suffering Maker, the one that sustains the very life, the very breath we breathe. We are defying him. We are not at peace with heaven. Absolutely not. We're rebels. We're at war. And we need peace. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace. Listen to Paul's words earlier in this epistle. He says, yes, peace you can have. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What's the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven? It's peace. It's no longer provocation of God, tempting God by the life apart from Christ of transgression of his laws, like missiles launched against him, and he in his mercy restrains and holds back. He that has the power to crush, for we're but grasshoppers in his sight. We're but the scales. We're the dust on the scales. We're minuscule. We're nothing. And omnipotence holds back his power. In his great mercy and compassion. And even tells us, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. None. Whatsoever, rather they would turn and repent, believe, receive pardon and forgiveness and peace. And there we would have peace with God. You're justified by faith. And being justified by faith, we have peace with God, says the apostle. Oh, the friendship of Almighty God, all enmity from our own hearts removed, indeed in measure reciprocating the love of God shown to us. That's the kingdom of God. It's not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace. And then look, peace leads. We have righteousness, we have peace, and peace leads to joy. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, what greater joy could you possibly conceive? You might experience that actually, personally, in your heart and soul, meeting with Jesus Christ. Could there possibly be a greater joy? He that gave us life, he that created atoms, he that made everything that there is and that we consist of, he that gave us those parts of the being that man can't even begin to comprehend. What is emotion? How do you operate on that? but one's personality. What ultimately is love? What about those feelings of affection, the warmth, the goodness you feel towards somebody? A mother lifts a child that's just born and embraces them. Who made that? Who institutes and constitutes us as we are? The Lord Jesus Christ. Without Him was not anything made that was made. And why were they made? They were only by Him and for Him. And He wants His people to know those made in His image, His amazing love. God is love. Jesus Christ is love. He wants His people to experience love. Joy. That's the kind of God that He is. He doesn't rejoice in darkness and judgment and bitterness and war and destruction. Never. Oh, if we could have a picture of what the world was and came from His hand in its perfect state and with a perfect couple walking the earth and God communing with them. For it happened. It's not an allegory. It's not a myth. It's not a fable. That's the Bible teaching. That's what we're going to experience again. For every Christian will be with Christ. And it says we'll see Him face to face and we'll follow Him, the Lamb, the one who sacrificed Himself and laid down His life to redeem us, and we'll follow Him whithersoever He goes. That just means to be with Him throughout eternity, to be experiencing a relationship with Him, His goodness, His love, His blessings, His company. What is the kingdom of God? It's not meat and drink. It's righteousness that He gives, imputes it, and imparts it, so we'll appreciate what holiness and goodness is, and what He is, for He is good, He is God. And it is peace, and it is joy in the Holy Ghost. Christianity is an experience. What we might term, and many do, an experiential faith. You commune. You engage. You interact. You share. You feel. It's personal. And yes, it's emotional. It touches the very core of our being, our deepest needs. They're not just physical and mental with regards to knowledge and understanding. They're deeper than that. They're about knowing we're loved, we're cared for, we belong. We belong to our Maker. We're at one with Him. We walk in fellowship with Him. This is the kingdom. This is real living. And it's what we can have in and through Christ. It's joy, but look, it's all in the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit has to make these things real to us and bring them. All that Christ has purchased, all that He's doing, that wonderful intimacy, it's made real to us in the Holy Ghost. But you know, you cannot have the Holy Ghost or be in the Holy Spirit until the Holy Spirit is in you. to experience these things in this world. The Spirit must be with me. He must be in me. How do I receive the Spirit? The gospel. Through Jesus Christ. Not going to the Holy Spirit himself. No, no. He would point you to Christ. You must go to him. He is the Savior. He cleanses from sin. He will wash you. He will save you. He will receive you. He is at work. And of course you have to qualify the language, but he is at work will say to me, might the Spirit say, now enter his life, her life. Now assure them they're mine. They belong to God. They have eternal life. They'll be in the kingdom. They're in it already when they believe. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. He will assure you. He will minister to you. He will show you what Christ has done increasingly, and as you walk with him, he will increase your love for Christ. He will increase your understanding. He will open your mind more and more to the things of God. In the Holy Ghost, it's Christ that's preaching the ministry of the Holy Spirit. What a message. Come to Christ. It's not reading, it's not meditation, it's not rituals and rites. It's faith in Christ. You have the righteousness you require and that God requires of you. God himself supplies it. The righteousness of God, which is in and through Jesus Christ. Seek the Lord. Do it urgently. Don't wait. Don't delay. Call upon him. Let's sing our closing hymn. 391.